It's the final push for the candidates duking it out in the primary election. Some people have already voted. Others will wait to cast their votes at the polls tomorrow. Our Wayne Yoshioka joins us for a look at where things stand in the governor's race.
Well, good morning, Catherine.
Hi.
You know, I went on the sign-waving campaigns for the Governor David Ige as well as Congresswoman Colleen Hanabusa. And just to get a feel of how their campaigns are going, it seems like Governor Ige's got this real strong core of Hawaii State Teachers Association volunteers and retirees working for him. I went over to Colleen Hanabusa's camp, and she has had bigger rallies, 700, 300 people. But David Ige has been really small coffee hours and stew and rice sort of gatherings. And he's been able, I think, to touch more people face-to-face than Colleen Hanabusa has. Then we look at the amount of spending. They had the late contributions and expenditures report from the Campaign Spending Commission, and I just crunched some numbers, and it looks like Super PAC Be Change Now has spent a total of $66,000 in advertising to oppose David Ige, and in support of Colleen Hanabusa, they've spent $134,000 for a total of more than $200,000 from August 1st to August 6th, infusing a lot of money trying to get those last 75,000 to 100,000 votes left in the precinct polls.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
In 1 week.
Yes. And, you know, they already spent $665,000 in that July time frame. So I don't know how much of an impact the money will have, but it sure is a lot of money.
Right. And when you were in here last week, I know we talked about how you can spend a lot of money and then still lose an election, like we saw with Governor Neil Abercrombie.
Correct. He spent $4.9 million, 10 to 1 over a little-known senator named David Ige. And yet, you know, David Ige came out with 66% of the votes, 157,000 to 73,000, 2 to 1, 2 to 1 he won.
Now, I was at David Ige's headquarters election night, and I was struck by how many people he really knew. They were his, you know, his teachers, and they were just folks that he had known him for all his life and were just very loyal to him.
Correct. And, you know, David Ige grew up in Pearl City when it was basically sugar cane land, and he grew up there. He lived there all of his adult life. So the relationships that he has there, and also having five brothers who also have, you know, lots of in-laws and friends and everything else, he's got a big, big network of really loyal people that are really advocates for his campaign.
Right, and they're going to go out there and vote.
They are going to go out there and vote if they haven't voted already. Now, we've got to get the last people who are going to the precinct polls on Saturday, and you never know until that last vote is cast on who's going to win.
Now, I have to laugh because for the last, I guess, month or so, we've seen candidates position themselves in strategic locations. And, of course, you know, they've just really stepped it up in the last couple of days. So I imagine this afternoon it's going to be crazy out there.
Pandemonium, I think. But, you know, David Ige's got this cadre of retired teachers. And so they can go out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, reserve the best sign-waving positions, and the people who get off of work come up and they say, wow, it's a whole line of David Ige sign waivers, and that's the advantage I think he has over a lot of the other candidates.
And I know I've done stories where campaigns will actually strategically place themselves where the traffic cameras are.
Ah.
To be able to get that shock of time in. Very, very sneaky. They just, you know, they want to get their reach out in any way they can in these last few days.
You know, nowhere else, I guess, do they do sign waving like we do in Hawaii. And to talk to a candidate, if you don't do it, you have no chance. You have no chance at all in terms of people recognizing you or, you know, even being considered as part of the electoral process if you don't go out there and sign wave, get sunburned, and do the shaka and all that stuff.
There is an art to this. I overheard a candidate complaining that they were out there for 3 hours, and it was I think 2 hours is generally what they like to do, because after 3 hours, I mean, you can get dehydrated, sunburn, like you mentioned.
Correct. And you see the different techniques that they use. You see, like David Ige and Colleen Hanabusa, they'll look you straight in the eye, the driver straight in the eye, and wave to them like they are in the car with them. And you, if you have that intimate connection with the driver, you have an advantage over everybody else who just sort of waves at every car.
So with all this money then being spent in the last few days leading up to the election, I mean, how are we looking at that with these PACs?
You mean the money being spent? Mm-hmm. Well, the greatest example would be Governor Neil Abercrombie, who's outspent David Ige. How much of an impact will that make? I mean, when you think about it, how much of an impact will that have on people who are listening to these negative ads and supportive ads for the last week? I mean, they're just inundated. They're probably, you know, shell-shocked with all the negative campaigning and attack ads that they're hearing. So how much of an impact that will have, that remains to be seen, I guess.
Well, I know we've heard folks say, you know, because of all this spending by these special interest groups, that it's actually going to backfire, that some folks say, you know, I was going to vote for this candidate, but now because of all this influence, I don't think so. I'll check my box for someone else.
And that's going to be reflected in the basically voter turnout. If we have a low voter turnout, we have a very, a voter population that said, you know, I've heard it all. I don't want to hear anymore. I don't want to probably participate in this election. I mean, in 2016, we had 34.8% of all voters showing up, and that was like a real, I mean, that was the worst in the nation. And in 2014, it wasn't much better, 40%, you know, turnout. So it was pretty bad. So we'll see tomorrow.
Well, we don't have the hurricane impacting us like some had feared, at least not in the same way. We thought it was going to be way worse, and that maybe it would prevent voters from actually going to the places to, you know, to vote and cast their ballots.
I don't think that was a real consideration, because there are so many absentee ballots out there. 154,000, 61% of the, you know, of all the voters that were going to vote anyway. So that could have been a consideration, but I don't think that was a real big factor.
Okay. Anything more on the Republican side?
On the Republican side, well, if things go, we'll have a 17% of the votes will be Republican and 80% Democrat. So if that changes, it'll be the first time since statehood that we've had a different balance.
All right. Thanks a lot, Wayne. That was Wayne Yoshioka with the snapshot going into the primary election. You can find more of Wayne's coverage of the political scene on HawaiiPublicRadio.org.